Nefer Tova is already in the computer?
No, I scanned the page. How many pages did I have? I haven't scanned the whole book. Not yet.
You don't want to get to copyright laws here. Just getting the whole book. So our goal for today is to revisit Simon Samach Zion. We started it, but I don't think we covered it. The Gemara starts on Daf Heyam and Beis, on the bottom of the Daf. And the Gemara is analyzing the possibility of a korban that's being brought by the Yorshim after the death of the Morish, and the possibility that the Yorshim could in fact achieve a kapara with their father's korban. So the Gemara here says that Yosef, Rav Nachman, Rav Sheshes, V'yasvi, Rav Adar Bar Masna, Gabayu, V'yasvi, V'kamri, Hodekom, Rav Lozo, Matzinu, B'boyin li'achar misa, Shem K'sherim. And he says the following, that in the name of Rav Adar Bar Masna, the Gemara quotes the fact that you could have a korban that's being brought by the Yorshim, and the Yorshim could indeed achieve a kapara through the korban of their father, or in the case of Yoledes, the korban of their mother. And the Gemara says, is that really true? How could that korban, let's say for example in the case of Yoledes, how could it generate a kapara on behalf of the Yorshim im hiyold, if the mother gave birth but now mi yoldu? I mean, what's the relationship here between the korban and the children in the case of a korban yoledes? And then Rav Asi says, well, maybe even the, because we're talking now about a korban ola, even in the case of a yoresh, perhaps the korban could be a machaper for the yoresh. You'll ask me if it's a korban ola of yoledes, what kapara shayach to the yorshim? So if you take a look about seven lines up before the end of the Amud, the Gemara says, kevan de chi'ika kama ese gabo mechapra, yorsheha nami mechapra. That again, even though this karbon was designated for the purpose of a yoledes, and the yoledes is no longer alive, the yorshim have to bring that karbon on behalf of their mother, maybe they could achieve a kapara and they sort of become the Baal HaKorban through the process of Yerusha, and therefore the Baal HaKorban could achieve kapara. For what? For what? Kama esse l'gabo, the Gemara says, that maybe they violated some esse.
Or after the HaFresha.
So that we'll get into in just a minute. I just wanted to just spend 5 minutes going through the sugya. So the Gemara says, are you assuming that the Yorshim now become the Baal HaKorban, and therefore their sins, right, their ika kama esse gabo, could be subject to kapara through this korban? Lemeimer dekanyulahu, is there such a thing as a kinyan yerusha? And then the Gemara goes on to analyze that according to Rabbi Yochanan, there is no din yerusha. So that if we would circumvent this, the premise of Rabbi Yochanan, then we could assume, says Rav Asi, that the Yorshim now, insofar as they become the Bailam of the Korban through the process of Yerusha, they could achieve the Kapar for Kama Esim. That would be okay. And that's something that even Reish Lakish, by the way, in brackets, could accept, because Reish Lakish has a problem of how can you have a Korban without a Kapara. But according to Rabbi Yochanan, the Gemara says, who's committed to the position that Yerusha lo kanya, then we have a problem. So what we want to do today is we want to analyze this process of a korban that's being brought after the misa of the yoresh, of the morish, I should say, in event that Yerusha kanya. You know, it's under the assumption that Yerusha kanya, which is the original assumption of Rav Asi, before we get into a clash with Rabbi Yochanan, the the karban of the yarshim, insofar as they inherit the karban, could generate a kapara on behalf of the yarshim. The Gemara had a problem in the case of Yoledes, because the children are not in the same category of Yoledes, so how could a carbon Yoledes be relevant to them? And what we're going to see today is that the Gemara's objection here would not apply if the Bas herself was a Yoledes, because she also needs the kapar of Yoledes. However, the Gemara has a problem. What if the Bas is not a Yoledes, or if the Ben inherits the Karban? How does that Karban Ola relate to as a Mechaper for the Ben? And the Gemara says that D'chi'ika kama ese gaba mechaper. That's what we have here. So Dr. Joel raises the following problem, and that's what we want to analyze today. How does the Gemara here assume that there could be a Kapara for the Yarshim for the carbon that was designated by the Morish? We have a principle of Chet Kodem HaFrasha. This is a sugya on Daf Vav. The sugya itself first and foremost addresses the case of a carbon Chatos, and then the Gemara wants to apply, or the Gemara vacillates as to whether we can apply that principle in the case of a carbon Ola. But with regard to Chatos, the Gemara says clearly that in the case of a carbon chatos, we cannot have a chet liachar afrosha. And we're going to analyze what this means in just a minute. But just as, you know, mirosh, you know, milamala, as we say, you know, just on a superficial level, what it means is that the carbon has to relate to a particular chet. And the key moment, the critical moment that locks this in, you know, the relationship between the karban and its kapara and the chet is going to be the moment of what? Hafrasha. So if at the moment of hafrasha that chet doesn't exist, it's a davar shelo bali olam, so to speak, then there cannot be a relationship between the kapara sakarban and that chet. Because again, what's the critical moment that links up, solidifies that relationship? It's hafrasha. And if at the moment of hafrasha the chet hasn't been implemented, then there's no relationship between the kapara sakarbon and that chet.
What's the status of the carbon at that time?
I guess it would be possible. We'd have to just get rid of it. In other words, in a case where she or he could not bring that chatos on behalf of that chet for which the carbon was designated, then, like, let's give the following example. Let's say, for example, the man violated two Chiyuve Karis. Let's say he ate dam and he violated the Shabbos, both b'shogeg. So the halacha is that he needs a karban chatos for each chet. Let's say he designated this karban chatos for the chet of achilas dam, and then he brought a different karban for a different chatos. You know, he had a backup chatos. He couldn't find this one, so he brought a different one. And now what he has is another chet. What's the other chet? He violated the Shabbos. I'm just giving you an example. It could be chelev, dam, Shabbos, whatever the 36 at the beginning of this. So now what happens if he was mafresh this karbon for the chet of achilas dam? Now he wants to use this karbon for the chet of chil Shabbos. Well, the afresh of the karbon was related to what? Achilas dam. Now the carbon itself could only be mechaper for achilas dam. So even if he had the kapara through a different carbon that he substituted for achilas dam, he can't use that carbon and transform it or transfer it over to a chil Shabbos. He's going to need a separate afrasha. What does he do with the carbon that he was mafresh for dam? You know, Yetzei Lebeis Apsul, or Yirad Shistayev, you know, with the Tzvai Bezdi, whatever it might be. Well, now, the Gemara goes on, Adaf Fav, to ask whether or not this same halacha applies to a carbon ola. And what we're lucky here, in a sense, but not totally lucky, we're not out of the clear, is that our sugi here, Adaf Heyam and Beis, is addressing the case of a carbon ola. And there's a possibility that this requirement of of chet kodem afrosha, as opposed to chet liachar afrosha, is only in chatos, but not in ola. The Gemara actually vacillates back and forth on this point. But let's assume, for argument's sake, that in the case of an ola, you could bring the ola even if after the afrosha you did a chet. Let's say, for example, he was mafresh the carbon on erev Sukkos, and then on Sukkos he didn't take the lulav. He could be, according to one side in the Gemara, he could bring a carbon ola, which would be mechaper for an essay, even though that essay took place after that frush, because that frush took place on Erev Sukkos, and the violation of the essay was afterwards. And that's going to be a very critical point to understand our sukkah, because if the requirement of hafrasha liachar achet is lifted, is suspended with regard to an ola, then in our sukkah here, dafei, that we're dealing with an ola, even if I assume that the, again, this we're going to have to vacillate back and forth, but even if I assume in the worst case scenario that the Yarshim violated their essays, right? The Ika Kama Yesek about Gabaz, if that took place after the Hafrash of the Carbon Ola, that's not so catastrophic, because the requirement of Hafrash Liacharachet, meaning that the Chet came first and then Hafrash, that doesn't apply with regard to an Ola, again, according to one side in the Gemara. So according to that one side in the Gemara, I might be okay. What do I mean, I might be okay? I don't have to go through a whole dochak and assume that the Yorshim violated the essay before the Hafrasha of the Morish. I can even assume that that chet, or that essay, I should say, that was violated by the Yorshim took place after the Hafrasha of this Karmon. But nevertheless, there's no requirement of chet karem Hafrasha, or Hafrasha liachar chet with regard to an ol. And all that is according to one side in the Gemara. The problem is going to be according to the other side in the Gemara. That the Gemara says that just like in Chatos you need Chet first and then Afrasha, so too in Ola you need Chet first and after Afrasha, and then subsequently Afrasha. So for example, if a person would violate two Esim, and in between the two, wedged in between the two, he was Mafresh and Karban Ola, then that Karban Ola would only be relevant to the first essay, but not to the second essay. Because the requirement in that side in the Gemara of Chet Kodem Afrash applies even to a Karban Ola, which is interesting unto itself. You know, do we have to, when we get to that sugya, we'll have to figure out, you know, what's the nature of an Ola? Is a Karban Ola really coming as a Kapara for Chet, or maybe it's a kind of a general Kapara? Maybe it's a different kind of Karban entirely. Like, for example, Chatos cannot come Benedova, but Ola comes Benedova. So that's something that we have to analyze. So what I wanted to show you and study with you today, actually, is Simon Sama Zion. Now, parts of this, if you don't mind, I'll read inside, because that helps me, you know, remember the Seder Advarim. I'm not such an Ilui, you know. I don't have this kind of memory that I can remember everything inside. I apologize for that. I have a member of my family who tells me that I do better when I don't look into a text, but so he says the following, that one conclusion we can certainly derive from this sugya. Again, if you're following me inside, for those who like to see a text, I'm going paragraph by paragraph, so I'm not skipping anything. If I skip anything, I'll point it out. What's clear from the Gemara is that if we hold Yerusha Kanya, again, that's with a pre-Rav Yochanan, right, sugya, we call it the Ravasi sugya, then this carbon, which is a carbon ola that was designated by the Morish, could be mechaper on behalf of the Yorshim who are bringing the carbon, insofar as they are kona the carbon. Again, we're holding now Yerusha Kanya. And certainly, how much more so, says the Gemara, by implication, if the Yoresh in this case would be a Bas Yoledes. Bas Yoledes means not the daughter of Yoledes, but she herself is Yoledes. If she's amongst the Yoreshim, then for sure this Karban, even though it's really initially designated for the Leda of the mother, can certainly be a Kapara on behalf of the Bas HaYoledes.
In
Karbanos, yes. They have the din of Yerushin Karbanos. We're going to see later on that in Karbonos, in, excuse me, in Yerusha of Dini Vamanos, it becomes more complicated. But in any event, let's assume, for argument's sake, there's only one descendant, only one, what word am I looking for, heir, I don't know, whatever word you want to use, and it's a girl, it's a woman, so she's the boss, and not only that, she's the Oled. So you're piling together a bunch of variables, but if we...
Possibilities.
So if we take all those possibilities together, then the Gemara says that that's even simpler, you know, because the Gemara has a problem, you know, how does this kapara of the carbon leda, you know, the olas yoledes, as it relate to the children, they don't fit into that category. But if, let's say, the child here in this case was a bas yoledes, that she herself gave birth, that's already, shall we say, more simple in the mind of the Gemara, that there for sure, the Gemara's whole objection was, if you remember the Gemara's kasha, was what shaykh is the kapara for the children, right? In he yoldo, the Gemara says banel yoldo. Obviously, if banel yoldo, in this case the bas yoledes, then that would be less of a problem. Again, when I say less of a problem, we'll see that we're not out in the clear even in that very unique singular case. And here's where the Rosh Hashiva asks the following question. The Gemara on Daf Vav vacillates back and forth as far as Ola is concerned. Meaning, with regard to Chatos, we have a requirement called Chet Kodem Afrosha, as opposed to Chet Liachar Afrosha. Chet Liachar Afrosha, the carbon is possible. But with regard to Ola, the Gemara vacillates. One side of the Gemara is going to say that let's accept an analogy, an equation between Ola and Chatos. Just like in the case of Chatos, if the Chet was Kodem HaFrosh, it's good, but if the Chet was Liach HaFrosh, it's no good. So too in the case of a Karban Ola, we require Chet before HaFrosh. Then the Gemara is the second side, and the Gemara says, no, let's break up the equation between Ola and Chatos, because Chatos is very unique. Every single Chet requires its own carbon chatos. Again, keep in mind, in the back of your mind, there may be situations in which one chatos could somehow be machapa for many different chatot. I'm sorry, for many chatot, only if it's the same chait that's repeated time after time. But as a general rule, and in terms of the machai of itself, the chi of itself, every single chait generates its own chi of chatos. That's not true in the case of an ola. The Gemara says that ola has an uncanny magical ability to be machaper on many different sins. So for example, he didn't take a luav on Sukkot, he didn't take he didn't eat matzah on Pesach, and so forth and so on. The one carbon ola, you know, you can kill many different esim with one stone, so to speak, with one ola. And therefore the Gemara thinks that now that we have a concept that ola, in contrast to chatos, has this generic kind of kapara possibility, and it can cover many different essays, therefore the Gemara thinks that maybe the ola could go even beyond that. And, you know, we could stretch our arm out into the wild blue yonder in the case of an ola, such that the ola could be mechaper once it's brought on the Mizbeach, even for esim, the violation of which took place after the Hafrosha. Okay. So now, before we move on to our main problem for today, in terms of reconciling our sugya with the Gemara Daf Vav, meaning if I accept the equation, which is one side, between Ola and Chatos, and therefore the requirement in Ola is that the Hafrosh should take place after the Chet, that's going to be our problem here in our sugya, because in our sugya Lechora, the Hafrosh was after the Chet, and we'll go through all the permutations. I'm sorry, the Hafrosh was Kodem Lechet, I meant to say, sorry. But before that, let's go back to the basics. The Gemara has no question at all about the case of Chatos, that the Hafrosh has to take place when? Li'achar Achet. So the Brisker Rav has a chiddush here, that this halacha that the carbon chatos in this case can only be mechaper on a chait that came before the afrosh, but not on a chait that can only take place for a chait that took place before the afrosh. What did I say? Whatever I said, you understood. So then the carbon is mechaper, but not on a chait that took place liachar afrosh. So the Brisker Rav says that whatever I say, as long as you got it right. I make these mistakes all the time, so just bear with me. He says that this conceals two different dinim. One is the din, if I could say it in my language, and then we'll see it in the Brisker Rav's language. One is the din in Afrosha, and one is the din in Akrava. And these are terms that have become a little bit more familiar to us over the course of time. The first din is, in Afrosha, that the Afrosha of a carbon chatos is only meaningful if there's Afrosha on the chait. Right, like I said before, Dover Shalom Baliol. You can't set up this carbon as a carbon chatos if there hasn't been any chait. That's number one. Now, we'll see in a second that dimension of this halacha of chait kodem lehafrasha has no parallel in Ola. The Gemara never had a havamina to it to establish an analogy between Chatas and Ola with regard to this halacha, and we'll see exactly why in a minute. But there's another halacha over here, and that's halacha in the Hakrovas HaKarbon, in the Kaparas HaKarbon, that the Kaparas HaKarbon is only meaningful for a chait that took place before the Afrosha. In other words, when I look at this carbon on the Mizbeach and I sort of analyze its Kapara power, I limit it to the chait that took place before the Afrosha. So that in the second halacha, even if you would somehow circumvent the problem of hafrasha, in other words, you'd set up a carbon where the hafrasha was meaningful to set up a carbon chatos, even though the chait took place after the hafrasha, again, that's all theoretical right now. Nevertheless, the carbon would still be possible. Why? Because the carbon doesn't have a kapara power unless it links up with the hafrasha. And what that means is the kapara power in the hakrova of this carbon somehow will be limited to the hafrasha meaning the hafrasha on the chait that took place before the hafrasha. So it's almost as if we are now shifting in time, you know, from the moment of hakrova back to the moment of hafrasha. And we're saying that the moment of hakrova has to relate to the moment of hafrasha. They're not two. What do you say?
Makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, the Akrova. Yeah, and the Akrova is really the culmination of the Afrasha. And insofar as in Karban Chatos, there's a din of Kodem Afrasha, the Chait was Kodem Afrasha, then even in terms of the Akrova itself, you would need that Akrova take me back to the moment of Afrasha, and at that moment there already was a Chait. So the Akrova power, meaning the Kapar power inherent in the Karban, could not be related to a chait that took place after the Afrasha, because in a sense that the Afrasha sets in frozen in time, you know, it's like a frame in the Chalos HaKarbon, that the Kaparas HaKarbon is limited to any chait that took place before the Afrasha, but not to a chait that took place after the Afrasha. Let's go through the two dinim and see how they apply in Ola. So the Brisker Rav says the following. The first din, which is a din in Afrasha, is a unique chatos din. The requirement that in order to be mafresh a carbon chatos, you need that there already be a chait, that doesn't apply to Ola. How does the Brisker Rav know this? Because there's a halacha that you can be mafresh two Olos, bezachar zeh, which means that he brings the second Ola immediately after the first Ola. There wasn't a shahus in between the first Ola and the second Ola for any violation. I mean, theoretically, you could imagine that within a split second he could have some sort of hira vera or something, I don't know. But to say that he didn't take the lulav when he was mafresh two olos and he didn't even get to the point of a chiyuv, in other words, he didn't eat matzah last Pesach and now he was mafresh two olos.
Two different
right, but he didn't get to Sukkot yet, if you follow my case. In other words, let's say during that 6 month period.
But right. He missed shofar and he missed lulav. So he did
So if he was mafrish two olos in between in between Rosh Hashanah and Sukkot, everything's fine. He could bring both carbon olos on the Mizbeah. Frek the Briskerov, what do you mean he could bring both olos on the Mizbeah? He hasn't yet gotten to Sukkot yet. In other words, in the time period between the first Afrosh of the first Ola and Afrosh of the second Ola, he couldn't have possibly violated Sukkah, because it's not yet Sukkahs. Again, the Briskerov doesn't say that, but anyway, there's a halacha that he could be mafresh two Olos, bazachar zeh. I should say bazuachar zu, I guess. Right? So you see that in Hilchas Afrosh, as far as Ola is concerned, there was never an issue about chet kodem Afrosh. Because in the case of two olos zuachar zu, there was no chet liachar afrosha. Now the Briskerov is going to say, but with regard to the second halacha, zuachar zu is not going to prove anything. That's what we have to rack our brains and figure that out why. But let's see it inside. He says the following. What are the two dinim? The first din is lo shayach afroshas chatos el al chet. So the afrosha means that the carbon is set up as a chatos because there already was what?
Okay.
He says, Bazelo Damyali Ola. Don't even entertain an analogy to Ola in the context of the first halacha of Afrosh. Why? She'efshal hafrish afim eno mechuyov, meaning if he hasn't violated the Avera, in this case the essay, Kigon, the mafrish te olos bazuacherzu. So far so good, bezuachar zu. So the first ola is mechaber for anything that took place before that ola. Now he's bringing a second ola immediately afterwards, tokidei dimur. There was not even a possibility of his violating another avera in between the two olos.
What was the purpose of the second one?
I guess you'd have to say it's a carbon adama.
Yeah, okay.
But the truth is that every ola is really a carbon. Well, I shouldn't say that, because in the case of Yoledes, it's not a carbon adama. But again, in Ola, man could be misnadev to bring an Ola. Now in this case, he was misnadev to bring an Ola, and immediately after the first Ola, he brought a second Ola. So last time I saw this, I didn't see this, if you follow me. So now I see that he's building his case on this halacha bezuachar zu. He doesn't tell you where the sugya is. I remember learning this sugya, but I don't remember where it is either right now. So you'll have to trust. Now he's going to tell me that there's another din in chatos, and that second din in chatos, which is a din in akrava, that could apply to an ola. And our job, I think, as we read the next 10 lines, is try to figure out why bazuachar zu is not a, how shall I say, a counterproof against the second halacha. Meaning it's a perfectly great proof against the first halacha, because the second afrosh and the second ola, bazachar zeh, was not following any sort of a machayev, right? Any sort of a chayev. But let's see, again, I'm speaking too fast. The Odi says, the second din in chatos is shachatos eino kreva, right? The carbon itself and its hakrova with its kapar power is going to link me back to what? To the afrasha. Well, was there a chayt at the time of the afrasha? The answer is, yes, there was a chet at the time of Afrosha. Then it's wonderful. Now there was a chet before the Afrosha. This carbon itself now is stamped with that chet. Do you follow what I'm saying? The kapara now has a name on it. It has the name of that chet, because that chet took place before the Afrosha. So now when he's makir of the carbon is mechaper on that chet. The chet is written in stone, so to speak, is written on a tag around the animal's neck. Why? Because that chet took place when? Before the kapar. So the carbon itself inherently has the power of kapar on that chet. Okay. Then he tells you to look up a certain sugya to figure out how you could have a case where there's no problem of hafrasha, meaning hafrasha kodem achet. That problem you could solve, but you'll still have a problem in the second din of hakrava on a chet that took place before. I'm sorry, that took place after the Afrosh, but not before the Afrosh. So that he tells you to look up in a Sugyan Davav. So Blineder, hopefully we'll get to it, I don't know, but not today. So again, the second halach is not theoretical, that's what he points out in the footnote here, but it's practical. Oh. He says, Adin HaRishon, the first din that the Afrosh can only be meaningful to set up a Chatos if there was a Chet, and now he has Afrosh, that applies to Chatos and not to Ola. And he says the loveness of it is because an Ola is not Baal Achet. Meaning, I don't have to, if I want to be misnadiv an ola, I don't have to know or determine that there was a chet of any sort. There's a carbon nedava of an ola. And that's a carbon that's meaningful with or without a chet. So to say that I have to be mafresh an ola after I did a chet, that I don't have to say. Oh, but here's the punchline. Omnam din hasheni. Here we can vacillate. Why? Kevon di eno shaykh lechalos afrosha elo ledina kapora ha'im kayim din ze gam bi ola. Now wait a second. With all due respect, I don't understand. What are you telling me? You're telling me that a man could be mafresh two olos bezuach erzu, and clearly the second ola is before any chet. You follow what I mean? Because again, the first ol already wiped out, you know, wiped out his cheshbon.
Clean the slate.
Excellent. I was going to use etch-a-sketch. I'm just dating myself. But anyway, clean the slate. That's the best way of saying it. So now he says, but let's look at the second carbon. Can the second carbon be mechaper for a chet that took place li'achar afrosha? He says that safek could apply even to a carbon ola. Ah, you'll ask me the question of a zuach arzu. So in the case of a zuach arzu, you know, let me try to slow down here. What I mean to say is the following: a carbon ola doesn't have to be justified by kaparas chet. The carbon ola could have some sort of kapara power even without a chet. And that's the case of Mezuach Arzu. But to say that the carbon could be machaper for a chet that took place after Afrosha, das vesach nisht, meaning I can't know one way or the other. So for example, if after he was mafresh the carbon, correct? I'm talking about a carbon ola, he did a chet, whatever that chet is, bittul essay we'll call it, can the kapara be achieved for that chet through the karma? Again, you're asking my nafkamin. I don't know right now my nafkamin. Because you follow what I'm saying? I'm saying the carbon for sure is kasher. Why? Because an ola doesn't have to be justified by chet. So even in the worst case scenario, if I assume that this carbon ola cannot be machaper for that chet, because that chet took place after the afrosha, I can still justify the carbon itself. Did he achieve kapara for that chet? That's what I don't know. And that's what the Gemara is vacillating. You know, it's like a nafkamina legabe olam haba. You know, saying whether or not he's protected from ichveis from yisurin right now. That's what I have so far. Is that okay? Because I want to see if that's okay. Again, what I'm going to say later, what we're going to do later, is not really contingent on this. But I just want to make sure that I. Again, I'm talking to myself now that I understand the Pirkei Rav. Because it's a little bit strange. The Pirkei Rav just finished telling me that the reason why the first halacha that applies to chatos, that you need hafrosh liachar achet, doesn't apply to ola, and that was never an issue, is because of the halacha of bezuach arzu. So I was thinking to myself, well, if there's halacha of bezuach arzu, you see that the kapara could be achieved irrelevant to the chet. Because in the second hafrosha, there was no chet. It was bezuach arzu. No, so I said to myself, well, what is the Pirkei Rav saying? But nevertheless, the Gemara has a safek with regard to ola, then maybe ola also needs afrosh liachar achet. Why do I need afrosh liachar achet? The answer is, if I want to achieve a kapara for a particular chet, in the case of an ola, then the Gemara has one side to say that I need afrosh liachar achet, so that the kapara power of this carbon ola, insofar, if I accept the analogy to chatos, insofar as it relates back to the afrosha, it can only be mechaper on the chet kodem afrosha. So the concept of chet kodem afrosha and that requirement applies to ola as well, not in terms of the kashrus hakarbon, but in terms of the achievement of kapara for that chet.
Why can't you say the chet the ola or ola? Is the ola itself, the ola shiva. He's bringing it up.
No, I'm just asking, the second ola is not ala chet. You know, in other words, that's what the Brisker was pointing out, that ola is very radically different than chatos. Chatos can only be justified by chet. Ola doesn't have to be justified by chet.
It's justified by a lack of kiyul of a mitzvah, say.
Yes and no. I'm not even going that far, because again, in Ola after Ola, I don't think he was mevatel an essay between the first Ola and the second Ola. And keep in mind that Ola can be mechaper on all essays. It's not limited to one particular essay. So let's say he violated 10 different essays before he brought the first Ola. He didn't have a toch kedei dibur, a breath of air to bring the second Ola and violate a second essay. The answer is that, as we said before, I'll read to you the language. He says that Deha'ola Efshal Afrisha Afim Eina Mechuyov. Wait, that's not the line I'm looking for, although that's relevant too. Well, where's the line that he says, Joel, you remember it by heart.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. He says he says, Chatos Dina Shemechapes Chakal. Okay, fine. That's still not the line. Oh, Mishum, listen to this language here, because I think this is very important if we're learning a little kachim, we're getting a taste of kachim. He says that Ola ain't a bala chet. I don't need a chet to justify a carbon Ola. The man wants to be misnada, if he wants to volunteer an Ola, he could do so. So, and what would be the prime, let's say, the most dramatic example of this, or expression of this Ola ain't a bala chet? Ola acharola, because there's no chet. But that doesn't bother me, because Ola ain't a bal achet. So I think what the Brisker Rav is saying, if I'm reading it correctly, is that okay, Ola ain't a bal achet, and that justifies the Ola, and the Ola could stand on its own as a kosher come without chet. But if there was a chet, and the Ola is going to be mechaper on that chet, you need a chet kodem hafrasha, according to this tzad in the Gemara. And that leads him to ask two kashas. Tzorech im. Therefore the Gemara has two questions. Okay. He says, Heich Pshita, how could it be so simple to the Gemara that if you assume against Rav Yochanan, like Rav Asi, that Yerusha Kanya, and therefore the Yorshim become the Baile HaKarban, that therefore that Karban could be Mechaper on an essay? Again, once again, Rabbi Osei, I'm insisting that we're not talking about the kashrus of the Ola. The Gemara's whole discussion here is, would there be a kapara power for a chet? And the Gemara asks the following question. What chet are the Yarshim guilty of? And the Gemara answers, Kevan de'ika kama esse gaba. And since ika kama esse gaba, therefore the carbon that was designated by the father could now that the Yoresh has the Kinyan on the carpet, he's the Balakar, he could now achieve Kapar for his sins, meaning the son's sin. But wait a second. That's a case of essay. Again, essay means chet here, right? In this kind, essay liachar lachar afrasha. Now you'll answer me, well, maybe the Gemara means that they have old essays, you know, skeletons in the closet from yesteryear, and those essays were violated before the afrasha. So you may remember that we discussed this point once in the past. I can't tell you what day of the week it was. That I can't tell you. But he says the following: Lo mi boy im chata hayoresh liachar afrasha. He says this question of the Brisker Rav is certainly pressing to try to understand the Gemara here. If the Gemara means he could be mechaper for essays after the afrash. Again, the afrash was the morish, not the yorish. Ella, he says, even if I grant you, listen carefully, this is a breakthrough. He says, im chata kodem shehifrishav, even if I grant you that the chet of the child, of the yorish, took place before the afrash sa'av, he says, mikomakom chashiv kiliachar afrash. Why? And he says the following. He says that the whole idea of chet kodem afrash as a requirement is built on the fact that the kaparas hakarbon has to be related to the afrasha. One example of that would be if the chet took place after the afrasha. How could the kaparas hakarbon, insofar as we link it up to what? To the moment of afrasha. And we ask ourselves, well, where's the chet that you want to be miskapit? Did it exist in the world at the time of the afrasha? But he says, leave that out. You don't even need that. What would be if the hafrasha was done for the chet of Reuven, and now Shimon wants to bring the karma to be miskaper for his chet? That's what he says in the next line. He says, "Af im chata." I'm just going to add one word: Hayoresh kodem shehifresh ha'av. If let's say the son violated an essay before that frosh ha'av, mikol makom. I'm just going to skip the next few words. He says, "Kevan shehufresh lechovas ha'av." Right, so now this hafrasha was for the avera, the chet of the father. Then that hafrasha has no relationship to the son and his chet, even though the son already violated that chet, and therefore it's considered mikol makom chasha kiliachar hafrasha. Because what does liachar hafrasha mean? Rabbo said, "What is liachar?" You see, we get stuck with the words liachar hafrasha, but if we conceptualize it, liachar hafrasha means that the hafrasha will determine the kaparas hakarma. Why? Because the hafrasha relates to a chet. If it doesn't relate to a chet, whatever that chet might be, and we'll give this example of the Yorish in a second, right? So if it doesn't relate to a chet, then the kapara can't be mechaper for that chet, because the hafrasha didn't relate to the chet. And we were saying that there's no reason why, at least in one side of the Gemara, that shouldn't apply even to a carbon ola. So the answer of ola is not going to help us here, because we hold that even in ola you need a hafrasha liachar achet in that side. Im kein litzad haGemara lekamon di ein ola mechaperes al esei de liachar hafrasha. How could the Gemara say that the child, the yoresh, has kama esim, even if he violated those esseis before the hafrashas ha'av? Eich miskaper, how could a carbon that was designated by the father — this, by the way, is going to press the Chazanish so far, he's going to change the whole sugi around, but just want you to hear the kasha — how could it be that a carbon that was designated for the chet of the father could now be mechaper for the chet of the son? The chet of the son has no relation to the hafrasha. Even if you'll tell me there was a chet in the veld, and we'll call him Chanoch, you know, Ben Reuven had violated an essay, but nevertheless, the Afrasha was for the Afrasha of Reuven, not for the chet of Chanoch. Therefore, again, to summarize the Kasha, he says, Eich miskaper korban ha'av ala essay diyorshim, no matter how many essays there were, and even if I grant you that the essays took place before the Afrasha, but the Afrasha was designated, you see, in 99 out of 100 cases, if you ask me about hafrasha, I'm going to tell you there's only one person involved in the issue. Right? We're not until we get to the case of Misa. In 99 out of 100 cases, I'm just dramatizing it, then the whole issue of whether or not this hafrasha and this hakrava could be linked up together, it's all a question of whether or not there was a chet before the hafrasha. But when I introduce the Yoresh into the picture, even if I hold Yerusha Kanya, I still have the problem of Hafrasha Kodem L'Chet. Why is this Hafrasha Kodem L'Chet? Because I can't relate the Kaparas HaKorban on the Mizbeach to the Chet of the Hafrasha in the case of the Yoresh, because that Chet was not included in the Hafrasha, meaning the Hafrasha was not done on behalf of the Yoresh. In other words, this whole shtickle Torah is coming to break new ground, that somehow, again, I don't want to let the cat out of the bag, but this is where we have to end up at the end. This is where the plane has to land. The hafrasha, the father, relates to the Yorisha as well. And that's a pill. That's going to be, you know, if we succeed in getting to the punchline, that's going to be the revolution here of this piece. Because again, if I assume the opposite, which is the simple pshat, the intuitive pshat, that the hafrasha is exclusively related to the chet of the father, then we have a problem in ola of hafrasha kodem lechet. Why? Because the hafrasha doesn't relate to the chet that the yoresh wants to be miskaper bo, because the hafrasha was done exclusively for the chet of the father. And that word exclusively is going to be the whole shtickle Torah, I think, is going to hinge on that word exclusively. And what we're going to have to do, again, in the course of this revolution of sorts, is to say that it's not exclusive. That somehow that frosh of the father, in his lifetime, has a broader scope than what we think, and it includes even the chet of the yarsh. That's going to be the wild idea, I think. We'll see if the things. But now he says something else. V'od tzarachin. He says, forget about everything I asked you until now. I have a much more fundamental question. We're talking not about a classical ola. which, you know, can somehow have this generic kapara for essays, and then we have to ask, well, can we include the essay of the Yoresh and the Hafrosh of the father during his lifetime? We're talking about a Yoledes. We're talking about an Olas Yoledes. Olas Yoledes is identical with a Chatas. What does that mean? And we're going to see the sugya increases. In the case of Leda, every single Leda requires its own Karban Olah and all the other Karbanos that come along with it. In other words, if a woman gives birth multiple times, she has to bring multiple Olahs. It's exactly identical with Chatos. What do we say about Chatos? That there's no Chatos without Chet. Correct? And not only that, the Chatos can only be Mechapa for one Chet. Right? One ticket per person. In the case of Ola, the same thing is true. There's no Olas Yoledes without a Leda. Not only that, every Leda requires its own Karban Ola. Again, I'm just mentioning Ola because that's the relevancy to our sugya. Is Memela, if the Yoledes dies, and now the Habas, even if I grant you that she's the Yoledes, is bringing a Karban Ola, how could she achieve anything with this Karban Ola? This Karban Ola should be sent to the Beis HaPsul. Why? Because if it can't be Mechaper for the mother, she's already gone, then you have a new Leda here? Okay, the daughter gave birth, Mazel Tov. But what does that have to do with this karma? This karma was designated for what? For the Leda of the mother, not for the Leda of the Bas. And in the case of Yoledes, clearly the karma has to be designated for this Leda. If it's designated for another Leda, even in the same woman, if she gave birth to twins, right? Tzorech Iyun, Hech Miskaperes HaBas. Which the Gemara says that's like upgrade. I have no problem if the Bas herself was the Yoledes, right? And she inherits this karma. He says, "Ha karma Yoledes havi kmo chatas, da abaya lasuye." I'll call. You're required to bring it. I'll call leida v'leida karma v'nei atzma. Ubezep shita the ain karma Yoledes mechaper ella al haleida the liachar afrosh. Meaning to say that this kapara power of a Yoledes, of a Karban Yoledes, has to be related to the Hafrasha. And that means two things. Number one, that the Leda took place before the Hafrasha. And that's for sure in the case, even with regard to the Ola. But what's more important is that it has to relate to that specific Leda.
But then it doesn't matter whether it's before or after the Hafrasha. Why does he say
correct, it's irrelevant.
But he's making the point both by Chatas and by the Ola of the Yoledes.
Wait, in the previous paragraph?
He now he even finishes Kamvor Shom Gabe Chatas. The fact that he keeps saying, like he says, the Ain Kabi Yoledes Mechapar El Liachar Hafrasha. No! Ain Kabi Yoledes Mechapar Afilu Lifnei Hafrasha. Because it's related to that mother and not this mother. And why does he keep going back to the other point?
Let me see. I didn't even pay attention to that. Okay, let me read it again. The Otzar in Hechmes Kaperes Abasa Yoledes Bekarban De Eim Shemesa for Karban Yoledes Havi Kmo Chatos De Beinon Lasuye Al Kol Leidav Leidav Karban Bifnei Atzma Ubaze Pshita LeGemara. Yeah, I think, again, he's using this phrase of Liachar Afrosha conceptually. He's not talking about a sequence. He's talking about the concept of Liachar Afrosha. What does Liachar Afrosha mean? That the only way the Kapara is Chal is if it relates to that Afrosha. Liachar Afrosha doesn't mean chronologically, you follow me? Liachar Afrosha means if it's not for that later.
It's a different person.
Different person, different Leda. It could be the same person with a different Leda, and how much more so if it's two different people. That's what I think he means by Lachar Frosh. But I don't know, we'll have to write him a letter.
Because frankly, if the daughter gave birth before the mother, it's not technically Lachar Frosh.
But so it would be considered Lachar Frosh.
I understand it would be, but it's not the right words. He's confusing.
Okay, I'm just saying that what we have to get used to here, Rabbi Osei, and that's our challenge, I think, is that Liachar Afrosha doesn't mean what we think it means. Liachar Afrosha means Shulo Shayach Lafrosha, Shulo Kashur Lafrosha. Do you follow what I mean? Okay. Oh, now look how pressing this whole business is. The Chazon Ish says that we have it all wrong. That the Sugya Sagavara is not talking about a case where the father in his lifetime was Mafresh Karba. Yeah, and this, you know, this kind of makes me very... I mean, I'm very happy to see Ben, but I mean to say I'm very unsettled here. I don't want you to think that I, you know, you came in and I said this makes me very uncomfortable. But it is lachar afrosha, right? Yeah. So what I'm saying is, this Chazon Ish makes me personally very uncomfortable. The Rosh Yeshiva takes it very seriously, this Chazon Ish. Why does it make me uncomfortable? I mean, you're really changing the whole sugya. You know, I've been operating with certain, you know, certain mechanics here about what took place and what didn't take place. And we were, you know, to wake up and tell me, you know, the father was not mafresh the carbon in his lifetime. Well, the mother, you know, the lettuce was not mafresh the carbon. I mean, we had a whole discussion about, you know, she brought the chatos during her lifetime. She didn't get a chance to bring the ola. Okay, but I thought that she had chad, she was mafresh the ola. He's saying, no, she wasn't mafresh the ola. So therefore, we have no problem, according to the Chazon Ish. Again, we're going to analyze this. But ostensibly, we have no problem of chet or leid or liachar afrasha, kodem afrasha. Forget all that. The afrasha was achieved by the orich, or in the case of the oledis, by the bas. Now you'll ask me, so then, where does Yerusha come into this picture, right? You know, the Gemara is, you know, the pivotal point of this Gemara about which everything revolves is whether or not the Yoresh is going to be bringing a carbon on behalf of the Morish. Well, wait a second. If the Chazon Ish is right, that the Morish wasn't mafresh this carbon, it was the Yoresh who was mafresh the carbon. Oh, that's what he says. I was just pedagogically trying to lead you to the next line. Which again, the next line, as I've told you a million and one times, is a sugya unto itself, which we haven't studied yet, which is called Shibuda Doraisa Milvaksum Vitorah Kibil Vishtar Dami, which means that somehow the Chiyuv of the Oresh is inherited vis-a-vis the Chiyuv of the Morish. Are you with me? In other words, the Morish during his or her lifetime was Chayiv in a Karvon. Somehow that Chiyuv becomes like a shibud mamon. It is a shibud mamon according to this man the Omar, which is transferred over. It's like, what shall I say? I could talk about my father because he's gone, right? So let's say my father borrowed money during his lifetime, and now I inherit the money because my father didn't pay it back. He didn't repay the loan. So if you hold shibud d'oraisa, I'm going to have to pay back that loan because of my father's chiyuv. How that works in Karbanos, we don't know. But somehow in Karbanos, is the same kind of idea that the Chiyuv Karbon is not just a ritual, or shall I say, a Beinonim L'makom kind of Chiyuv, for the sake of Kapar. There's also a monetary element in that Chiyuv Karbon. Again, that's a sugi that we can't touch with a 10-foot pole. But somehow, that Chiyuv Mamon, which exists inherent in every Karbon, as one of the two dimensions of the Karbon, is passed on, is transferred over to the Yoresh. So the Yoresh now is a chiv to bring a carbon on behalf of his father or her mother, whatever the case may be.
And so the debate of the Yerusha Kanye Lo Kanye is just about the chiv, not about the physical object called a behemah.
Oh, so that's what he wants to address now. Let me just read to you the punchline. He says the following, that he says that the Yoresh has to bring this carbon, and he's going to have to be mafresh this carbon. But the afrasha is a requirement based on what? The chiyuv of the father. So we need the process of Yoresh. Forget about the case where the bas was the oledus. Let's leave out that case. But let's take the classical case. The Yoreshim did not have, you know, they don't have their personal chiyuv vis-a-vis this carbon, right? They may have other chiyuvim and so forth and so on, but as far as this carbon is concerned, they have I can preempt it with a chiyuv. Where does that chiyuv come from? Forget about what the Yoresh himself is guilty of or what the kapar he needs. Based on the halacha of chiyuv lahavi carbon aviv. So now says the Chazon Ish, okay, I understand very well that the Yoresh has to bring this behemah. How then is he going to be miskaper with this behemah? The answer is because he was mafresh the behemah. Why does he have to be mafresh this behemah? Because of the chiv that he inherited from his father, Yerusha Kanya. But the kapara power of the karbon now relates to whom? To the son. Why? Because again, as we said, the miskaper has to go back to the hafrasha, and the chet of the son predated the hafrasha. That's the way the Chazon Ish is learning this sugya.
What do you mean that the son has to do about Frushers? It's been Mufrush already.
Oh, so comes along the Chazanish, he says to me, Berzon, you didn't understand the sugya. He sends me out. You know, he punishes me because I misunderstood the sugya. I thought the whole sugya revolved around the case where the father, the mother, whoever it was mafresh the carbon during his or her lifetime. Then, says the Chazanish, the father or the mother incurred a chiyuv. Let's say, for example, the case of Yoledes, she had a ledos, she now has a chiyuv to bring not only a chattis but also an ola. And she died before she was mafresh the ola. Nusi, he'll ask me, so what's the whole sugya of Yerusha? He says the following. That through the process of Yerusha, there's a shibud that's chal on every single behemoth. Let's call it an apotiki. You know, let's say on this behemoth there's a shibud. It wasn't designated as a karma. So I gained two things, and I can be tofes sachevel mishtek tzavot. On the one hand, I could say that the yoresh, as a yoresh, has an obligation to bring that karbon because of the chiyuv that he or she inherited from the father. That's called Yerusha Kanya, and that's based on shibud d'oraisa. On the other hand, I have no problem of hafrosha kodim l'chet. Why? Because the yoresh, whatever essays he violated, took place before the hafrosha. The hafrosha was done by whom?
By the son
himself.
So what would the Chazon say if there were no behemoths in the Yerusha?
So that I don't know. That we'd have to learn the sugya of Shibud d'oraisa, with it's in Dinin Karka, with it's in the Taltal, I don't know.
Or it's just a chiyuv avir, right?
Yeah.
The father needs a carbon, I have to bring it for him.
I have to bring a carbon, so I can decide which behemoth, which Elsie the cow I want to bring.
Which is why they...
But what he's saying is that on the one hand, I have to bring an Elsie the cow, some Elsie, right, whichever Elsie I choose, but on the other hand, I'm going to be mafresh this Elsie. And when I'm going to be mafresh this Elsie, that hafrosh is going to relate to my chet that took place before the hafrosh. So therefore, says the Chazanish, we can circumvent the whole issue of the sugya daf vav. Our sugya daf hey has no relevance to the sugya daf vav. Again, until we get to the next paragraph. Okay. And the reason is because the hafrosh took place during the lifetime of the Yoresh, and the sin for which he wants to be mechaper took place before the hafrosh. No, you'll ask me, so, you know, very nice. You know, this son is bafish a karbon for his own sin, so... So what's all Dion in the Gemara? The Gemara vacillates back and forth if that's good. And the answer is, because if I hold Yerusha Kanya, then the son picks up a chiyuv to be mafresh a carbon on behalf of his father. And now the carbon could be machaper for the son. Why? Because the son violated Kama Essen, and those violations took place before the hafrosh. So Hatnitzitan, says the Chazanish, with the sugya on the above of hafrosha liachar achet.
Why not say it the other way around then? Why do you have to say that the father owed a carbon, but he didn't, was not mafresh anything?
Yeah.
And then the son gets kapara from the carbon because he also had committed meiros d'chayiv in the carbon.
Exactly. Yeah. That's exactly what the Chazanish says.
He says, but why don't you say it the other way around?
What do you mean?
The son is chayiv in the carbon, and since his father also had his own carbon, he's schlepping his father along with him.
I'm not sure what you mean, but I think again the Chazanish is saying exactly what you said, that this carbon, has a twofold function.
He doesn't need anything.
That's right.
On the one hand, he's Makayim, the son is Makayim, his Chiyuv of Shibud d'Oraisa. And on the other hand, since he's Mafresh it after his Esim, you know, his violation of Esim, it could be Machaper for all those Essen that took place before the Shas HaFrosh. And the whole sugya of Essen Liachar HaFrosh, which the Gemara vacillates back and forth with regard to, is irrelevant to our sugya because these were Essen before the Kapara, before the HaFrosh. But the Rosh Yeshiva can't understand this. He says, okay, so I grant you the Chazanish is right. The Hechatimtz in this Gemara is that the Yoresh was Mafrish now. In other words, there was no afrosha b'shas ha'av. But what is this? What for? What kapara is this? This afrosha is for the chovas ha'av, correct? What's the whole point of Yerusha? The whole point of Yerusha is to take the chovas ha'av and superimpose it on the son. Why do we superimpose it on the son? Because this magical halach called shibud d'oraisa lends itself to what? To Yerusha, if I assume Yerusha Kanya, and now the son has a chiyuv to bring a carbon for whom? for his father. So the Afrasha is always going to be designated to the father. Again, this is Liachar Afrasha, Chet Liachar Afrasha, not physically, not, how should I say, not sequentially, I'm looking for a word, but conceptually.
There are two different din in there. The Yoresh is not, the Yoresh can't be, has a requirement to bring the korban for the father because the father didn't do it. It's like a mamon thing, partial. It has nothing to do with an aveira because the father doesn't need any kapara at all.
Because he's dead.
Well, again, you know, the chiyuv, right, priest, but the chiyuv karban emerges in the, as a result of the chet. If there was no chet, it would never have been a chiyuv karban. So when the son,
it's not a din of kapara. It's not a din of kapara.
No, but I'm asking.
Mormon, the father has to bring it at korban.
Right.
He can't do that anymore, so the son brings the korban.
Right, but again, every karban has to be mechaper, correct? So that if that be the case, when
not
you
for the father, now for the son.
But it's not so because the whole raison d'etre, the whole purpose of this karban is because the father's chiv. If there were no chiv of the father, the son is not bringing a karban.
The father doesn't need the kapara.
If he doesn't need the kapara, so there's no chiv karban. If there's no chiv karban, why does the son have to bring the karban? But I'm asking, keep it out of a hid and keep it out of a hair. But if there's no chiv of the father, why is the son obligated to bring the karban?
But if there's no chiv of the son, he doesn't bring it either.
And that's fine. I understand the Chazon Ish is saying that the son wants to gain a kapara. He wants to piggyback over this karban. But it still becomes a chet liachar afrosha. Why is it a chet liachar afrosha? As we define it, chet liachar afrosha means you designated a karban for a certain kapara, in this case for the father, and now you want to use it for the son. Well, that's called liachar afrosha. Let me read to you the inside. He says, Sarach Iv. And if you don't like this first kasha, maybe you like the second kasha. But he says, "Tzorach iyun da'af mashem mafresh hayoreish hashto." Right? Havi lechovus ha'av. So again, it's going to be back to square one. It's liachar afrosha. V'shuv kasha eich miskaper ba kaven defrisha lechovus ha'av. Oh, so I don't know. That's why I thought the first kasha was. I don't know. I understand. Anyway, he says kaven defrisha lechovus ha'av havi legabei ki liachar afrosha. So now the Chazon Ish quotes a Tosfos in Masechta Shavuos.
Does the Chazon Ish have a problem with it? Again, I'm going to mix up a different thing, but didn't Rashi say we're talking about the father was mafresh and not the son? How's he go, on which region is he so mad that he can say that they were talking about a case that is after the father was mafresh?
Right, again, he's just trying to be miyashi the sugya with the sugya davav. You know, davav is not far away. So how do we reconcile the two? So he's saying that Hafrosha was the son.
He rips Rashi.
Okay. Okay, give me Rabosai just a few minutes because I have to leave soon. I want to just get to a certain point here. He says the following. Because again, Alan, you take a look if you can on the paragraph that starts Biyosit Tzarchin. I'm not up to it yet, but you're up to it. So you have it inside?
He has it upstairs.
He has it on the screen. Oh, that's not good. What's this? Oh, that's from my 9:30 course. That says the Gimel one?
It says,
good. So again, fast forward if you can. It's not on the page you're looking at. To the next paragraph will be Yosef Tzorach Iyun. I'm giving you, if you don't mind, even though I should be mechaber you, you're older than me by a half a year.
There you go.
I'm giving you an assignment. While I'm going through this first paragraph, if you can fast forward to the next paragraph, will be Yosef Tzorach Iyun. Because remember, we had two questions. And he says that the second question is even more difficult on the Chazon, more of a kasha on the Chazon Ish. But let's go with the first question. So the Chazon Ish himself is aware of this question, and he quotes an amazing sugya in Shavuos. Will you remember this sugya? We spoke about this. A man was mafresh a karban for sukkahs, for chagas sukkahs, right? These are called chalmei regel, or whatever the case might be. Okay, the karban got lost. In the meantime, they brought a different karban. And the karban of the regel has an amazing power on behalf of all of Klal Yisrael. It's a karban atzib to be mechaper for what's called tumas mikdash v'kadosha. But obviously, when did any number of people in Klal Yisrael violate this isur of tumas mikdash? It would have to be before that frosh, correct? Because otherwise we're in deep trouble. How could you have a kapara li'achar afrosh, for chet li'achar afrosh. Good. Now, they brought a second carbon on that first moed, we'll call it sukkahs, and the other carbon that they originally designated is somewhere out there in the wild blue yonder. Okay? So now, what did this replacement carbon achieve? A kapara for tumas mikdash b'kadosh. We find the first carbon. Great. We find it mazal tov, we found the first carbon. So the Gemara says in Shavuos, we can bring that carbon for Chag HaPesach.
The first carbon.
Now again, he was mafresh the first carbon for tumas mikdash b'kadosh. That's the only power of kapara in that carbon. But tumas mikdash b'kadosh, they wiped off, what was the phrase again, Joel?
Slate.
They wiped the slate off, clean the slate, with the replacement carbon, right? The substitute carbon for the bullpen. Now they find the first string carbon, and they could bring it on the second moed. What does that mean? That the hafrosh of that first carbon was for the tumas mikdash. That tumas mikdash is gone already. There was tumas mikdash for kadosh between sukkahs and pesach. That's already liachar hafrosh. So the Gemara says something amazing. I'm sorry, Tosfos says something amazing. He says yeshlomar. There's a court of Tosfos. Keva di avad, since the carbon was lost. The karev achar tachto. Igloy milsa dolo haisa hafroshasa hafrosha ad haregel abba. He says al regel the rech acher, right, the next one.
That's brand
new. Okay, so again we have to do a lot of research on this Tosfos, but what we want to know right now, again, you know, you can't cover everything in one shot, but what does the Chazon Ish do with this? What did the Chazon Ish see in this Tosfos at the beginning of Masechta Shavuos that made him a happy camper? Says the Chazon Ish, this could have shed a tremendous light on our sugya. The kaven shelo nishchat l'shem av, right, because the father died, is misbarer da havi shel ben umiskaper bo. I think Rabbi Sacklitz, you'd be happy with this, because this is very similar to what you were saying before. The father is out of the picture now. Again, before we see the Nefesh Tova, he's not going to buy into this. But the Chazon Ish's understanding was the father died, he's out of the picture.
Then it could be even after the father did not fresh.
Correct. So it comes out like this, that the father dying is like the carbon, you know, in the case of the regal getting lost. Now we have to make... And even if, again, even if I grant you that the father was mafresh the carbon, that's the chiddush of the chazon. So love is arguing that the father was mafresh the carbon. That afrosh is out. Why is it out? Because the father died. Who's going to bring this carbon? The son. You'll tell me it's afrosh liachar achet. I mean to say it's a chet liachar afrosh, right? I always get mixed up. It's a chet liachar afrosh. The answer is, just like the Gemara over there with the regal, now what we're going to do is, iglai milsalam afreya, that afrosh for the father is no longer afrosh. And now we're going to use the afrosh for the man. So the Nefesh Tova says, I don't understand this Chazon Ish. He says, adimyon tzorich iyun, hasam, lonis kaprubo. When they bring the carbon, the replacement carbon, the first carbon doesn't generate any kapara. So you've got a kapara, you've got a carbon which is floating in suspended in midair. It doesn't have any kapara attached to it. And therefore, we're allowed to say here is this igloy milsam afreya. We're going to set up this carbon as a carbon not for the first regal but for the second regal. Why? Because again, there was a kapara. And meaning on through this the replacement carbon. And as far as the first carbon is concerned, which got lost and now we found it, there was no kapara at all. You never used it up for any kapara. No, if you never used it up for kapara, now we have this magical rule called igloy milsa, and we're going to set up the kapara of this very same carbon for a different regal, however that works. Aval hacha, but here now is sugya. The entire sugya is predicated on Yerusha Kanya, which means that as a Yorish, he has to bring a carbon Lechovas Ahav. And we need that kiyum of Lechovas Ahav. Is lo shayach lemeimer huvra dover igloy milsum afreya dahavi carbon shel ben. You can't say it became a carbon shel ben if it still remains a carbon shel av. Again, the Rosh Yeshiva is stuck. He's absolutely, what's the word, dedicated, I don't know what word I could use, to the following premise. And he's not willing to budge on this premise. that the only reason the son is bringing this karbon is because of the chovos av, because of shibud d'oraisa. If you subtract shibud d'oraisa, then why is the son bringing a karbon? You want to tell me he has his own problems? Let him solve his problems. That has nothing to do with Yerusha. The factor or the variable here that sets up the karbon, that sets up the chiyuv karbon, is Yerusha. So it means that he's bringing a karbon l'chovas ha'av. You'll ask me, why does he have to bring a karbon l'chovas ha'av? So Dr. Joel says, because of kibbutah. The Gemara gives a difference. What can I tell you? Don't say kibbutah. Say shibudah d'orais. So based on this principle, the son has to bring a karbon l'chovas ha'av. No, if it's l'chovas ha'av, what does that have to do with the sugya and shvuas? The sugya and shvuas holds that you can say Eloi Milsa and redirect the karbon because the karbon was never, it didn't have any other kapara. It's completely bereft of any kapara power. Why? Because they were already machaper with the substitute karbon. So now what do you do with this karbon? As I said before, it's sort of like suspended in midair. How do you get it into the picture of kapara? The answer is we're going to apply this magical principle called Iglai Milsa. Excellent. But what happens if you bring a karbon for a particular chova, and now you want to tell me, well, so it's going to work as a kapara for a different machaper, for a different machayev? How does the Chazon Ish know such a thing? But Rabosei, here's what I want you to do. What I want you to do, because I have to go, is take a look at the next kasha. You remember we had two problems. We had one problem about Hafrosha, Liachar, Hafrosha, Kodem Achet. Correct? Did I get that right? Hafrosha, Kodem Achet. But we had another problem. We had a problem with the case of Yoledes. Correct? He says, B'yosei Tzarchin Hakusha Shnia, She'ena Mitaretzes Klal Bozer. The Chazon Ish gained absolutely nothing. The afi named the gabe ola, the sheyorish mafrish la. Let's accept the Chazon Ish that who was mafrish this ola? It was the yorish. Lo havi legabe. I'm sorry, havi legabe. I added a word here. Havi legabe ke esei kodem afrasha. Again, we're talking about the Chazon Ish. So the Chazon Ish says that that since it was the yorish who was mafrish. The Yoresh was Mafrish, therefore it becomes Essay Kodem Afrasha, correct?
Why?
Because the Essay was violated before the Afrasha.
I mean, it's good.
Yeah. I say, if we say that.
Right.
He says the following, Afsha Hufrash L'chovas Ha'av B'komakom Kencha Yoresh Hifrish Chosh L'gabe Essay Kodem Afrasha. That's fine. I mean, again, he's not happy with that in the previous paragraph, but even if I grant you the Chazon Ish, that somehow we're going to apply this principle called Higloi Milsa, we're going to set up the Kaparas HaKarbon as related to the Yoresh, and the Yoresh had violated the essay before the Afrosha, he says, that doesn't solve my second problem of Leda. Why? L'gabi Leda be'inan karbon al-kol Leda k'mo gabi chatas. Now this halach of Yerusha, which requires the Bas to bring the carbon yoledes of the ola yoledes on behalf of her mother. He says, sometimes he doesn't add the chov. Kechet liachar afrosha. Why? That was the whole afrosha on the part of the bas. Even if I grant you the Chazon Ish, that she went ahead and did the afrosha. It wasn't the mother, may she rest in peace, who did the afrosha. He says, hufresh al chovas yoledes. Is
he's trying to say that the bond between the carbon yoledes to the mother even after death is greater than the bond between a father and his carbon ola after his death?
Yeah, because again, we're saying that yoledes is like a chatos. Yoledes is like a chatos. What do we say in the case of chatos? Every chet generates its own chiyuv carbon. So every leda generates its own chiyuv carbon. So mimadashav, who are these yorshim in the case of olas yoledes? If they're everyone except for the Basa Yoledes, then they're only bringing, how could that Olas Yoledes that they're bringing, again, they're bringing Olas Yoledes, it could only be meaningful insofar as it's an Olas Yoledes. So how do they gain a kapar from an Olas Yoledes? Even if they went ahead and they're mafresh, and even if they violated certain essence before, but it's an Olas Yoledes. And what are you going to tell me? Well, maybe the Basa is the Olas, but that's a new Leda. And if that's a new Leda, I couldn't care less if she, the boss, is mafresh the carbon. The carbon is being brought as an olas yoledes for the mother.
That's what I don't agree with.
Okay, then, Rabosa, I'm going to leave you here because I'm already under pressure here. So.